So how was that for you? Is anybody willing to share what you experienced? Yeah. About 17 minutes. It felt short. Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, good. Okay. Does anybody have else? Yeah. Hey, you have to hold it kind of like a like that. Well, that's what we see. We see the mind kind of wanting to go to anything but what we're trying to pay attention to. But actually, over time, and part of what the course of the 5 weeks will show us is that when something grabs our attention like that, like the sound of the people outside, we can actually use hearing meditation at that moment. So we will cover that. We'll go into hearing meditation next week. But for now, as much as you can, just keep trying to let go of anything else and just come back to the sensations of breathing. You know, the practice of most meditation practices fall into one of two camps. They're either concentration practices or they're awareness practices. And in concentration practices, we really pick a single object and dedicate ourselves to that object to the exclusion of everything else. Every time we notice we're away from it, we come back. We notice we're away from it, we come back. And slowly over time, the mind starts to let go of all of the other stuff and just sinks into that one object. So that's a concentration practice. And in the awareness practices, we are more cultivating the ability to be with whatever arises in the present moment. So what I'm suggesting for you for this week, actually, is more of the concentration style of practice, because the concentration helps to build a stability of the mind so that it can stay in the present moment. Both types of practices, concentration practices and awareness practices, use both concentration and mindfulness. So in a concentration practice, when we are trying to stay present for a particular object, the mindfulness lets us know when we've slipped away. That's what you noticed. You noticed you were away, and then you tried to come back. You noticed you were away, you tried to come back. That's using the mindfulness piece to try to come back. And the coming back over and over again is cultivating the concentration. So in the concentration practices, the mindfulness helps us to recognize when we've slipped off of the thing we're paying attention to and to bring us back. And in awareness practices, the concentration side of it helps us to stay steady and focused on what we're paying attention to, and helps us to be able to stay present for a stream of continually changing events. It takes a lot of concentration to just stay in the present moment, to experience a sound, a thought, a breath, a pain, a pressure. You know, there's just a continually changing stream of events that we'll start to experience as the weeks unfold. And it takes some degree of concentration to be able to stay in the present moment. So that's the way concentration supports a mindfulness practice. The other way it supports a mindfulness practice is to really help us see very clearly, to kind of like focus on what we're paying attention to. So paying attention to the sensations of breathing, the practice of the concentration can help us to see very clearly all the different qualities that are coming into the breathing. There's many, many different sensations happening as we breathe in. And the concentration helps us to kind of go a little deeper into those experiences. So there's those two pieces. And really tonight I am suggesting more of the concentration, because it's so helpful to have that basis of concentration to support the mindfulness. So just keep trying to come back for now. And then next week, maybe it'll be a little easier for you if you have a tendency to want to be more expansive in your meditation. We'll open it up some more. But just try for now to just keep coming back. Any other comments? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it happens that way. You know, when we start to pay attention to something, it kind of feels like we're starting to control it or something. And that's perfectly normal. That happens to a lot of people. So you just notice that. You did just notice it. That's great. And notice what it feels like to have that controlled breath. I mean, we're not trying to change anything. If the process of bringing the attention in makes it feel controlled, that's what's happening. So just notice that. And then probably over time it will start to relax and soften a little bit. So, yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh. What about the addition of using meditational music to help you get into more of a relaxed state so that you're not concentrating on your nose itching or your fingers twitching?
Yeah, that's a possibility. But for this particular practice, we are basically trying to just have the meditation supported from within the body. But if you find it helpful to start that way, I mean, we do use setup exercises initially, like with the scanning that I showed you, to get the body kind of relaxed. You might see if you could, you might try starting your meditation with some music, maybe the first 5 minutes, and just have it set so that it'll go off, and then come try to bring attention to the breathing. If you've got the music going, it can kind of be a little bit of a distraction, that you're kind of relaxed into the music and not really paying attention to the breathing. And it can almost be a divided mind. You know, that it's kind of split between the music. So we're trying to, it's helpful to get to that relaxation at first, but then trying to just support it with simply the mind itself, you know, to pay attention and notice it goes off, notice it comes back. I mean, actually, you're talking about the nose itching. I mean, that actually is a great place to practice meditation, you know, and I'll talk about it more next week. How to pay attention to that kind of thing. But it's part of the practice, and that's why we encourage you to not have other supports like that, because as the weeks progress, we'll start to use those objects to really observe the mind and how it wants to do things, how you want to move, how you just get really reactive, how the mind can't stand the itch, and noticing that reactivity. So we bring our attention to all of these things in the practice, and that is really what opens the door to our freedom, seeing how we can learn how to respond and soften around that reactivity. So I hope that answers a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I've tried meditating a few times at home, and I read fine, but I'm wondering what to do about this. I get this just knot in the middle of my chest, and I try to relax it. Should I keep trying to relax it, or should I focus on it?
I would say if it's the strongest sensation, just let your attention kind of rest there. If it's possible to just let it rest there, it's not necessarily. In the mindfulness practice, we start with the relaxation to just kind of get ourselves into a kind of a place where we can begin to focus. But then we don't necessarily keep trying to relax something over and over again. So, you know, we find that we have a lot of habitual knots and holdings in our body. And bringing sort of I like thinking of bringing mindfulness to them as kind of bringing a warm bath to them, just holding them in a warm bath and letting them be as they are. And usually over time they will start to unknot and relax of their own accord. So just bringing the attention, if it's possible. Sometimes there can be a lot of reactivity to something like that. You know, I had a very strong, when I first started meditating, it always felt like I had a vice grip around my rib cage here. It was very painful. was really hard to pay attention to. When I would try to bring my attention there, the mind would just rebound off of it. And so I found it helpful to cultivate a place of breathing that was a little bit away from that knot. You know, so if your knot is up here and you find that it's hard to be there in that place, you may want to try paying attention down in your abdomen or in your back of your throat or in your nose or someplace where the knot is not so obvious.
Mm-hmm. I went to sleep.
That's a very, very common experience, especially when we start meditation at the beginning, because we get the mind relaxed a little bit, our eyes are closed, it's quiet, and what the mind knows to do in that scenario is to go to sleep. That's its habit. So it's pretty common for that to happen. The other thing is about sleep that we're often quite sleep deprived. You know, if you find yourself falling asleep a lot in meditation, it might mean that you need more sleep. So that's a possibility also, that you may just, it may be pointing you to needing some more sleep. But there are a number of ways you can work with sleepiness, and I'll go through a few of them. Probably the easiest one, if you notice that you're sleepy, is to open your eyes. Go ahead and open your eyes while you're meditating. Letting some light into your eyes can help bring some energy into the system. So it can help to wake things up. You can even look at the lights. You know, actually look at the lights. It really kind of helps to have the direct light into your eyes. Another thing you can try is to pinch your ears. And this works really well while you're doing it, I've noticed. So pinch them really hard. And that can help for a little while. But I often find that when I stop pinching my ears, I'll just fall right back to sleep. Another thing you can do is to stand up. That will bring a lot of energy into the system. To stand up if you find you're really, really sleepy. You're welcome to stand up at any time in the meditation here. There's no need to feel like you have to stay in one particular posture. So if you find you're really sleepy, you can stand up and practice standing meditation. The teachers used to say that there's never been a case of anyone falling asleep while standing. But now they say there has been one. One person actually did fall asleep while standing. So it's possible, actually, but pretty rare. So standing is really, really helpful. And next week I'll talk a little bit more about other ways to work with sleepiness. There are some ways to actually pay attention to the sleepiness, but since we're mostly paying attention to the breathing right now, I'll leave that until next week. So just try some of those things. Open your eyes, stand, pull on your ears. You can also do walking meditation, but again, that's not what we haven't talked about walking meditation. If the standing isn't quite enough energy, you can walk a little bit. Does anybody have a sense of what kind of sensations they noticed when they were breathing? What were you noticing? Were you noticing pressure or movement? Do you have a sense of, can anybody offer some words of the types of sensations you were experiencing? Yeah.
I was feeling that my breathing is really shallow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just the way it is. So it's just to observe that it's short. The breath is short, you know, in and out and in and out. And actually, you know, that it seems like there's sort of an idea that we have that when we're meditating, the breath should be very long and slow. And that's relaxed, and that's the way the breathing is supposed to be. But and that does happen, actually, initially. But what seems to happen as we even get more and more quiet is that it gets really short. The breath gets really, really short, almost imperceptible. So, you know, it's not, there's nothing wrong inherently with a short breath. And in fact, it can mean that the mind is quite, quite settled when the breathing is really short. So I've known at times people to think, oh, the breath is getting short, that means I'm not relaxed anymore. And then they end up agitating themselves by trying to breathe longer when it really has already settled pretty deeply. So you don't necessarily need to judge about that. Did you have something?
Oh, I just, that was a very freeing thing you said. That your breath doesn't have to be in any particular. It doesn't have to be long and slow and steady. It's what it is when you watch.
Right.
Mine's always at rag.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's fine. That's just what you watch.
Yeah, like I said, I would sometimes get myself very caught up in trying to get steady, breathe slowly and evenly.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Light. That's great. Where did you feel that? Through your whole body or? Yeah. Uh-huh. In your head. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyone? Yeah.
How busy I am
breathing. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing when we start to pay attention how much sensation there is. I mean, you'll really start to see that over the week that, you know, that there's lots of different, there's tingling, there's pulsing, there's vibration, there's pressure, there's movement. There's so many, many different sensations, lightness, heat, coolness. So let yourself start to notice the different qualities of the types of sensations that you are experiencing as the breathing comes in and out. Yeah, thank you. Any other comments? So how many of you noticed that your mind wandered a lot? Yeah, so you're not alone. It happens. That's one of the first things we notice when we sit down to meditate is that momentum of the mind. We notice that the mind is out of control. You know, this is actually an insight that the mind is out of control. You know, we sit down, we say, I'm going to stay with the breathing. And then the next thing we know, we're off thinking about something. Well, who did that? Who decided to do that? I mean, did you decide you were going to do that? And then when you woke up and realized that you weren't with the breath anymore, did you decide to wake up? No, it just happened. So there's really not, we don't actually have a lot of control. We can really simply notice when we're present and pay attention at that moment. That's about all we can do. So the patterns that take us away from the breath are pretty deeply conditioned habits of mind. They're very, as I said earlier, they're kind of we have a kind of top few habits that we really, really operate with. And we'll really start to see that as we pay attention to our breathing and notice that the mind is going out to remembering, out to fantasizing, out to something pleasant, thinking about that argument we were having, out to try to fix a problem. We kind of have these patterns that we operate in. And these habits are what cause the vast amount of the suffering in our lives. So really beginning to see how the mind creates that of its own accord, creates those habits of its own accord, is a real doorway to starting to understand how to let go of them. They actually start to let go of themselves as they're witnessed, as they're seen. But it's not necessary to judge ourselves for those habits, even though there's a sense of letting go when we notice them and we come back. There's the letting go of it. There's no need to judge ourselves for that habit. It's just the way it is. I mean, your mind has been doing it for many, many years, this kind of wandering and thinking and fantasizing and remembering. So a few minutes of sitting down to meditate aren't going to stop that. In fact, what a few minutes of sitting down to meditate will do is to reveal that. That's the first thing that gets revealed to us, is how the mind goes everywhere. So at one point in my teenage years, I was an ice skater, and it was really important to learn how to fall down in that training. And in the meditation, it's really important to learn how to relate to this wandering mind, that we don't get really mad at ourselves. If I got really mad at myself when I fell down when I was ice skating, it would be hard to get up and continue on with the performance. So just let it go. It happened, it's over, and you're back now. So there's no need to judge yourself or condemn yourself or think you're not a good meditator. It's just the way the mind is. The mind doesn't particularly want to be present sometimes. You know, it thinks it's got itself under control and knows what it wants to do. And so when you sit down to meditate, you'll probably notice that it comes up with projects. You know, oh, this is a perfect time to clean the refrigerator. Or, I haven't cleaned the garage in months. Now I've got some time to do it. So the mind will construct these projects and just notice them. You can smile at them. I mean, it's kind of amusing the way the mind will construct all of this stuff to do. So over time, the mind will start to gradually be a little more present, more and more. You know, it will come back to the present moment, and you'll be able to stay with the breath a little bit longer before the mind wanders. And you'll be able to come back a little more quickly when you notice that you've wandered. So it will be a very slow process, and that's pretty usual as well. It's a pretty rare person that sits down and can very quickly go into deep states of concentration and focus. So like any skill, it needs practice. It's kind of like, you know, learning to play the piano or something, where, you know, when you first start to learn to play the piano, you have to sit down and you really have to pay attention to what you're doing. You need to read the notes and figure out where the keys and the fingers map to, and you really have to think it out and work over and over again, doing the scales over and over again. And it takes a regular practice. If you don't come back with a regular practice, you find that the body doesn't kind of pick up the practice. So with the playing of the piano, the body itself begins to incorporate the movement. The eye, mind, and hand coordination starts to read and interpret the notes, and it begins to happen more automatically with practice. If you only come once a week to practice, if you only practice every, you know, few days, it's going to be a much more slow process to develop that that kind of body memory of the playing the piano. And likewise with meditation, it really requires practice. We call it practice, I think, for that reason. We just practice coming back to our breath over and over and over again. And eventually, over time, it starts to get into our body. We start to feel the benefits, actually. We start to feel the benefits of some concentration. And we start to feel a little bit calm and settled. And there's a little bit of a pull there. It's like, oh, that's pretty nice. You know, that feels pretty good to be quiet for a few moments in my day, just to have that settled feeling. And so the benefits start to develop, and the mind gets pulled into those benefits. So if you can, I would really like to suggest that you practice meditation every day, and I'd like to suggest, for the duration of this course at least, to try to practice at least 15 minutes a day. So if you haven't done meditation before, start with 15 minutes a day and see how that goes. And if it works for you, if 15 minutes works for you, then you could try increasing the length of time about 5 minutes a week until you get up to, say, 30 or 40 minutes a day. 30 minutes would be a good length of time to shoot for this course. And then perhaps over time getting it to be a little bit longer. It can sometimes take some time for the body to feel comfortable in the meditation, and kind of taking it a little slow can help the body settle into the meditation posture. So I'd suggest sitting at the same time each day when you do this. It's helpful to do that if you can. If you can sit at the same time each day, it tends to make the meditation just part of a routine. So there's benefits to various times of the day. A lot of people really like meditating first thing in the morning because the mind hasn't really kicked in too much. You know, that it's pretty relaxed from the night, and it's before we've really started agitating it through our day. So it can be pretty quiet and a really nice time to meditate first thing in the morning. But some people find that it's just impossible because they really have to get out and get going. So any time is fine. When you get home from work, you can sit down and meditate. That has the benefit, perhaps, of really seeing the momentum of your mind. You'll really see what's been happening to you when you sit down to meditate after work. It may just feel like you're spinning, or like your whole body is just this spinning energy of whirling sensation, because there's been so much energy pumped into your body during the day. Or perhaps you've got 15 minutes at a lunch break where you could sit down, close your door to your office, or go to a quiet room, or sit in a park and just do some meditation at lunchtime. Anytime, whatever time you can do it, is the best time to meditate. There really is not a best time, but the best time is when you will do it. So see if you can find a time to sit down and meditate. And I'd also suggest sitting whether you feel like it or not. There are times when we really just don't feel like meditating. And, you know, we sit down and the mind is just all over the place. You know, we sit down and we think, well, what's the point of this? You know, I'm with my breath every 5 minutes. You know, once every 5 minutes I remember, and then I'm off again. So what's the point? I might as well get up and do all these things I'm thinking about. It really has some value to just doing it, even if the mind is all over the place. One of my teachers from the Insight Meditation Society in Massachusetts tells a story that she was in India practicing for a period of time very early in her meditation career. And she noticed this pattern that some days she'd sit down and it would be great. You know, she'd sit down and it would be very quiet and calm, and she could really feel the breathing. And she got calm, the body got still, and it felt very nice. And she would really love the meditation at those times. And then there were other times when she sat down and her mind would just be racing. And she would think, well, what's the point? And she'd get up and she'd not meditate. And after some period of time of this, she went and talked to her teacher about this pattern that she was experiencing, that some days she could meditate and some days she couldn't meditate. And her teacher said to her, put your body there. Just put your body there. It doesn't matter where the mind is going, but just put your body there. If you get one breath in the entire time that you sit, that's fine. Just put your body there. And over time, we start to be able to pay attention to that chaos. You know, we can be mindful of anything, and this will begin to become apparent over the course of the 5 weeks. We can be mindful of chaos. We can be mindful of confusion. We can be mindful of cloudiness and dullness. So if we can bring mindfulness to whatever is happening, that is sufficient. So we just put our body there, and over time the mindfulness will develop. So meditation is pretty humbling. Coming into something like this, we think that we have some kind of control over our minds. There's a sense of something being in control. And yet, doing this very simple task, we see how little control we actually have. So it can be really, really humbling experience. Bring kindness to how hard it is. It can be very challenging. So see if you can bring a sense of real compassion for yourself for how difficult this is. You're just holding yourself in a kind of a softness and gentleness as you try to do this. When the mind wanders, just like, oh yes, that's the way it is, and really just kind of very gently bring the attention back to the sensations of breathing. Just keep letting go and coming back and letting go and coming back. That's really all there is to it. That is the practice, letting go and coming back, letting go and coming back. So if you find yourself doing that, you're doing it right. any other comments? We can do another short sitting here. We've got about 10 minutes. But if there's any other comments, I'll take some questions. Okay, take it you want to sit. So get yourself into an upright, alert, but relaxed posture. And gently close your eyes. And again, start by taking a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. Feel the sensations in the body and connect to a sense of presence on the in-breath. And see if you can let go and relax on the out-breath. Now see if you can just let go of any major tension you find in your body. Relaxing your jaw. Relaxing your shoulders. Your chest and back. Relaxing your abdomen, your hips, your arms and your legs. And let yourself become aware of the sensations in your body that let you know that you're breathing. Just feel the gentle rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. If you notice any pleasant sensations associated with the breathing process, a sense of relaxation in your abdomen, perhaps, or a lightness, If you notice something pleasant, it can be helpful to let the attention rest with that pleasantness. If it's helpful, gently label the breathing in, out, in, out, to help the mind stay present. If you notice the mind is wandering, relax. See if you can let go of the wandering and gently bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. So for the remainder of this week, until the next class, I'd like to suggest that you try this daily sitting practice, and then also see if you can pick one activity in your day that you do daily, something like brushing your teeth or washing dishes or unloading the dishwasher, anything you do regularly, and see if you can bring a sense of presence to that activity, just in a very simple way. Know what you're doing while you're doing it. I have a very strong fondness for bringing mindfulness into daily life, and so I'll bring that into, weave it throughout the entire class and not just leave it for the very last class. So see if you can pick an activity and try to bring some mindfulness to it and see what you just notice what you notice, whatever you notice. And then the last thing is I have some handouts which covers, it's basically, you know, notes covering what I talked about. And it also describes the exercises for the week. So this can be a little reminder for you. So if you'd like one of these, you're welcome to take one. And thank you all for coming and for your participation. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Now let's see, East West is a place, and then there's a place on California Avenue, I think, a yoga store that sells them. And online, there's online sources. But you might want to experiment with some of the varieties that we have here before you, because these things can be expensive. So.